is beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Then whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. It is so great to visit with you in your home today. And it's wonderful just to praise the name of Jesus, isn't it? Remember again, our motto here, it comes right from the Bible, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst thereof. Those are the words of Jesus. Invite people over and listen to the programs and then have your own home church service right there where you're at. Maybe these programs can be used as sort of a vehicle or a facilitator for you to discuss things, have prayer, take care of prayer needs. And I believe it's always important for home churches to have praise items. That's what a lot of churches call it, praise items. And you know we should. We pray and then God answers our prayers and we never even thank Him verbally to others. I believe it's so important. And when we do such a thing, then I think God truly, doubly blesses us. I mean, otherwise, are we not ingrates? So many of us, we pray, our prayers are answered, and then we just sort of, we go on with our life. Can't do that, folks. Well, I wanted to mention to you, next week we're going to be starting a very exciting series called 10 Astonishing Signs That Jesus Is Coming Soon. 10 Astonishing Signs That Jesus Is Coming Soon. But today we're going to continue the powerful message series, Who Are God's Chosen People? This message is going to shake up a lot of people, and it's going to get them to reading the Bible a lot more. So we're not going to have music today. We want to make sure we have all of this message in as we conclude the important series, Who Are God's Chosen People? And afterwards, if there's time, I'll be back with you for a few concluding remarks. I have something to tell you about. Stay with us here on Bible Home Church, even after the message. The Jews of his time told Jesus, we're of our father Abraham. Jesus said, then why don't you believe in me? Because before Abraham was, I am. He said, Abraham saw my time and was glad. And then you know what Jesus told him? He said, I know that you are of the seed of Abraham. Now, he meant the physical seed. But you are of your father, the devil. Now, wait, hold it. They said, our father is Abraham. And they said, you have a devil in you because you're calling yourself God. They picked up stones to stone him, didn't they, to death? Jesus, he didn't deny that they were of Abraham's blood. He knew from the foundation of the world, he knew exactly their genealogy. And he confirmed it. He said, you're right. You're of the physical seed of Abraham. You're right. But you're of your father, the devil, and his works you will do. Now, that is scary, isn't it? You know what that means? It means that whatever physical race you have, it means nothing to God. What he is looking for are people of faith. Doesn't matter if you're Jew, doesn't matter if you're Gentile. And for you to be so prideful and boastful and bigoted that you say, I'm going to get somewhere, I'm going to get to the kingdom of heaven, I'm going to be favored because after all, look at me. Look at my race. Look at my features. I'm pretty. I'm this. I'm that. No. It's not going to happen. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, up there in chapter 4, Paul says,
verse 17, he says, as it is written, I have made thee, talking about Abraham, a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which are not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Many nations, according to faith. Well, let's move right along here. We're going to get right to the very nut of it now. We're talking about the seed. By the way, the Jews, you know, this was very hard for them to accept. They were very prideful of their race. They wanted to be kings on earth. And that's why in Romans chapter 9, verse 33, it says, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. They stumbled at that stone, that rock, which was Jesus. And yet Paul went on to say in chapter 10, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, let's go on, because we really want to talk about God's chosen people here a little bit. I want to get right into those words. By the way, we just look at Romans 10, verse 12 very quickly. Paul says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I want you to understand, a lot of people say, well, has God totally rejected Israel then, that nation, that physical race for all time? No, he hasn't. He is so faithful and good and just and merciful, he is going to bring a remnant of the physical race of the Jews in the last days to believe in him. Do they deserve it? Absolutely not. They call for Barabbas to be released instead of him. They don't deserve it. But, you know, you and I don't either. God was faithful to us. He was good to us. You didn't deserve to be saved either. Nothing you've done ever justified your being saved. Nothing the Jews have done justified their salvation. But God will choose a certain remnant. Paul talks about that, and we're going to talk about that in the future. So please don't ever say that text said that no Jews can be saved or anything like that. Not at all. Did I not say that God is no respecter of persons? And of course he can save Jews. He is saving Jews today. I know of many Jewish brothers and sisters that have been saved by God. And there are going to be many more in the coming months until Jesus comes. Okay, let's go to Peter. Let's see what Peter had to say. This is 1 Peter chapter 1. He talks about being born again. Verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Think about that. Verse 25, he says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now, what are we reading here? Peter is saying you can be born again, not of corruptible seed, which is flesh. The flesh is corrupting. The older you get, the more you realize that, folks. Believe me. But that's not what they're talking about in being born again. It's not the corruptible seed. It's not your physical beings or bodies that are born again. He says it's that seed that is incorruptible, which is the Word of God. Here we get back to Jesus again. The Word of God. And what happens to the Word of God? It endureth forever. Now here again is the promise of immortality for the Christian. If you have the Word of God planted in your heart, you will live forever. Because you can't have it. The Word of God endureth forever, and you have God inside of your heart. And you're going to live too. Forever. But you say, but my body is going to go back to dust. It will indeed. Your physical body. Here again, we have to ask the question, of what use is a body? Of what value is your physical race or body? If you're born again in spirit and in truth. And if the only way to be born again, according to Peter, is through the incorruptible seed of God, which is Jesus Christ. Here we get to the seed. Now, you start understanding what the seed is? The seed of Abraham? Say, well, now, Tex, I need a little bit more proof to that. Well, let's just go right to it. I love Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. When I read this verse, I praised Jesus. Because here is the key to the mystery, my friends. You see, every false teacher, and many of them are so sincere, believe me, most of the people that preach the superiority of the Jewish race and that they're God's chosen people forever and ever and ever just because of their physical stature, physical race, physical blood. These people are sincere. They've been lied to by seminarians and all of the false teachers. They don't know any better. If they would simply read the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans and the Galatians, they would understand. It's so clear. But friends, you're not going to hear this sermon preached anywhere. You will not. Believe me. Have you ever heard a sermon preached on this? Exactly like this? They will say, they will take things out of context. They will say, see, the seed of Abraham is blessed forever by God. And then they will say the seed of Abraham are the Jews. And then they leave off hundreds of verses that tell you what the seed is. Why don't they want you to know this? Why are they so confused themselves? Why haven't they read Galatians chapter 3 verse 16? Now, I want you to understand something. The Galatians were being rebuked by Paul. Remember the letter to the Galatians? Paul started it out and he said, "Who has bewitched you? You've fallen under the power of witchcraft." Man, how would you like to get a letter from an apostle that says, "You have fallen under the power of witchcraft"? You know why? Because they bought into the lie that they had to become Jews to be blessed. They had to accomplish works under the law to be saved. Well, Paul had some other thoughts for them. Verse 16 says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." Can we all agree to that? Was Paul telling the truth? "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." Do you agree? Anybody disagree with that?
No.
"He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Uh-oh. The seed is not as of many. It's one. Did you know that the seed of Abraham is Jesus? One. And God made sure that lineage came out. Physical, spiritual, whatever. Jesus was that seed. Now, from Jesus then, Jesus is really, isn't he really the mustard seed tree? He plants a seed and it grows. And think of all those who have come to know Jesus Christ and believe in him throughout the last 2,000 years. The seed of God. But when you go from Abraham to Jesus, many people get confused. They talk about the seed, the nation of Israel. But remember I told you what the purpose of God was for the Jews was? They were the chosen people to produce the Holy Scriptures and Jesus Christ here on earth. And they did what God wanted. And he was that one seed. And you talk to Jews today and you ask them, what is the seed of Abraham? They say, the Jewish race. "I'm of the seed of Abraham." "Oh yeah. Are you of Jesus?" "Well, no. You're not the seed of Abraham. You may be the physical seed, but don't call yourself the spiritual seed of Abraham." And I want you to understand something else. Remember back when it said that those who cursed Abraham and his seed would be cursed by God, and those who blessed Abraham and his seed would be blessed by God. You know what that means? If you have the seed planted in your heart and your soul, you have Jesus, then Jesus says you are the heirs of Abraham. He is your father. You have the promise. And he says to you, you have the blessing. And anybody who blesses a Christian will be blessed. And anybody who curses a child of God will be cursed by God. See, we think it's because if you don't do a favor for the nation of Israel today, ooh, it'll be bad. Doesn't matter what they do as a nation, you've got to bless them. And you can't say one thing about them. In addition to being anti-Semitic, you're going to be cursed by God because they're the seed of Abraham. And you read back in Genesis 15, 17 and so forth, the seed of Abraham, you got to bless them or God will not bless you. Well, now the seed of Abraham we find is Jesus. And the Word of God is that seed. And the Word of God is Jesus planted in someone's heart. And therein lies the blessing. And I believe very sincerely that there are those in this world that are blessed by God because they've helped His children. I believe that. And I believe that there have been many Christians, just like the story of Lazarus and the rich man, that have asked for help, even for a cup of water, and the unsaved would not give it to them. And they are cursed by God for that very thing. I believe that. Well, he goes on to say, verse 17, "And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of non-effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." The inheritance was given by promise. It is the seed, which is Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God, the Bible tells us. Verse 19 says, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed shall come to whom the promise was made." See, God had the law for a while. It was there. It served its purpose. But after Jesus came, it had no more purpose in its form, the way that it was understood by the Jews. Okay. He goes on to say, verse 24 through 27, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Do you know what that means? He's saying again, who are God's chosen? It's His children. How are you chosen as His children? By faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." There it is again. You put on Christ. You have the Word of God. You have the seed of Abraham. What is the seed of Abraham? It's not as of many, but as of one, which is Jesus, our Lord. That's the seed of Abraham. Have you ever heard a preacher tell you that the seed of Abraham was Jesus? I've never had anyone tell me that before. I had to read it for myself in Galatians. And you know, I've gone to prophecy conferences around this nation, and I sit down with some of these men and I say, "Hey, would you explain Galatians here to me?" "Oh, well, you know, that would just confuse you. Don't worry about that." "Well, no, I'd like to understand it. What does it say here about Abraham and his seed being of one, which is Christ?" "Well, you know, they don't understand it. They have absolutely no understanding. And they cannot preach this because they don't know it. And they believe the same thing that they've been taught in their schools of theology and such. And that's all they know." You know why? They believe in books instead of the book. They don't go to the book, or they would know some absolutes. Well, let's go a little bit more, very quickly. Now, right here in Galatians, we've got to verse 27. Now we get to 28 and 29. And boy, here it comes. Folks, get ready for this. Get ready. This is it. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." That's it. Didn't I tell you we would get to the meat? Here it is, two verses. "I'm a Jew. I'm better." "No, you're not." "Well, maybe the world will make you better. I don't know. Maybe the Jews will get to the head of the world, New World Order. I don't know. So what? Maybe it'll be the white Anglo-Saxons. And they can call themselves Israelites all they want. Big deal. Maybe the Mormons, they say they already have 10 million members. Maybe they'll have 100 million. They say they will in 30 years. So what? Well, they say, we're the true Jews. Oh, yeah? I don't think so. Do you believe in Jesus, the seed of Abraham? Has the Word of God been planted in your heart? Well, no. But if you do have faith in Jesus, then you're one in Him. And it doesn't matter your race. And I love verse 29. That tells the whole story. "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to His promise." Now, folks, if you ask the average person out there, "Are you a Christian?" They say, "Yes." Then say, "Are you Abraham's seed?" They say, "Oh, no, of course not. That's the Jews." Just ask them to turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. Bring them back to 28 to get them a little fired up. And then ask them about that. Ask them to explain that to you. And they will hem-haw and they will get confused and they will not know what to say because they have been taught things that are not in this book. They have been taught the traditions of men. And believe me, I think Jews like Christians to teach this. It makes them feel good. It makes them feel special. And if Christians are so stupid that they won't go to the Word of God, then the Jews say, good. No problem. We'll accept it. You stupid Christians, you say you believe in Jesus, we reject Jesus, and you still say we're God's chosen. Okay, if you're that dumb, we'll go along with it. Well, it is strange. Now let's get to the book of Revelation. Man, we're getting right to the end now. Did you know God wrote a letter to the churches? And boy, there's some powerful things in there. Read chapter 2, verse 9. I know thy works, he tells the church of Smyrna. Do you think he knows your works? I bet he does. And tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Oh, I like that right away. Here is a church that, you know, it's not like the Laodicean church. It's poor. But God says they're rich. Ooh. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. There are those who say they're Jews but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. I believe the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses. And let me just say something else. I believe that the Jews who say they are Jews but reject the Word of God, which is the seed of Abraham, they are of the synagogue of Satan. Are all Jews of the synagogue of Satan? No. Not those who believe in Jesus. But you see, once you believe in Jesus, you're neither Jew nor Gentile. You're a peculiar race. You're of the family of God. You're of the seed of God. That makes you totally different. And then you don't really have a race, do you? Paul said, you know, you're just a pilgrim passing through here. You don't even have a nation except that nation in heaven. Okay? And you have a passport through that seed that is in your heart. Well, that's pretty shocking. They're blasphemous. And they say they're Jews, but they're not, but of the synagogue of Satan. That's the powerful stuff there. Well, how about, let's see, that's in Revelation 2. That's at Smyrna. Okay, now let's see what the devil. We'll finish with the old devil. Well, we won't finish with him, but let's talk about the devil. Now, I've quoted Peter and John. I've quoted Jesus. Let's see what the devil's going to be doing. If you're the seed of God through Christ, if you're the heir of the promise of Abraham, what does the devil think about you? Well, you can find that out in Revelation 12, verse 17. And the dragon, that is Satan, the devil, and the dragon was wroth, that means angry, with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus. You see, there's two women depicted in Scripture. There's the chaste bride of Christ, and then there's the whore of Babylon. And you know, you belong to one or the other. And what does Satan think about the bride of Christ? He's mad. He's angry. He makes war on you. You're the remnant of the seed. Here again we get to the seed. You're the remnant of the seed. And who are the seed? Now here again, you're going to see when you talk to many Christians, they say, oh no, no, Tex Mars is wrong. Chapter 12 refers to the nation of Israel. To the physical nation of Israel. That's who the dragon is wroth or angry with. That's who he makes war with. But what does it say? He makes war with who? The remnant of her seed. That's the bride of Christ, I believe. Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The devil is not very angry with the nation of Israel today. Why should he be? They're doing his will. They say, we reject Jesus. We're waiting for our own Messiah to come. And you know, Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. And you receive me not. But someday one will come, he told the Jews, in his own name, and him you will receive. The Jews, if they don't believe in Jesus, let me tell you, they'll believe in the counterfeit Christ. And that will stamp them as not of the seed of Abraham. If you're of the seed, what do you do? There are two great things, signs. First, you keep the commandments of God. You keep this great book in your heart. And second, you have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The Jews who go to hear a rabbi at a synagogue blaspheme Jesus, do they have the testimony of Jesus? Well, of course not. So they're not of the seed, are they? And the devil's not angry. He's pleased with them. He will be pleased with anybody, Jew or Gentile, who does not have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, let's finish up with 1 John chapter 4. If we want to know who's chosen, we want to know who's not, John gives us a test. He says, test the spirits. We'll end with this. He says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. This is chapter 4, verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Then in verse 15 is a wonderful statement. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Isn't that something? What happens to the seed of Abraham? They have the Word of God planted. God dwells in them, and he in them. This is that seed. This is that incorruptible seed that Peter talked about. This is that Word of God. It has to do with a change of the heart. And so the only question we have to ask ourselves, the most important question, do we have that seed? Are we heirs of the promise? Do we believe what Abraham believed? Jesus said, Abraham saw my time. He was glad. Abraham had faith. He had faith in God. He had faith in Jesus Christ. Abraham, I believe, was born again. He was born again in spirit and in truth. And believe me, if you'll turn back to Genesis and read it very carefully, you'll find he was not even circumcised when he believed. May we pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've given us the confidence that if we have faith in you, if we believe in you, we will be born again. If we repent of our sins, you will come in and dwell with us, and you will be our God. Lord, we thank you that we have the Spirit, the same Spirit that Abraham had. Lord, we thank you that you baptize all of your people, Jew or Gentile, black or white, it doesn't matter. We thank you that you have baptized us all in one Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you prayed to the Father that we be as one. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.